I'm going to speak this morning, but I like to kind of get people's attention by doing different things, and this is a little different, but from my heart this morning, I just thank the Lord, because a couple of weeks ago, I wasn't in too good a shape, and now I am, so here we are. You can't keep the good ones down, but I thank the Lord for the opportunities that we have. And, you know, when you're asked to speak, and I know how it is trying to get away and pastoring, and you just kind of think, man, we're never going to get away. And then finally you get away, and it's refreshing. And if you've never known the life of a pastor, it's behind the scenes. It's not all right here. It's more outside these walls 24/7 that you'll probably never even know about, the calls at midnight and the 4 a.m. used to be hospital calls, and it's just an amazing thing. So I want to just kind of share a little bit from my heart this morning, because I was laying in the hospital, and they kept telling me how sick I was, and I'm like, okay, whatever, you know, I've been through worse. And the Lord just kind of said, this is a light affliction, because I was laying there just kind of what I call compraying. I was complaining and praying. I was trying to combine the two, and I call it compraying. And you know, the Lord just said, this is a light affliction. And I thought, I'd hate to see a heavy affliction, but okay, we'll go with that. And it just started reassuring me that it was going to be all right. And you know, sometimes we get real spouty and people are either sick or in conflict or whatever kind of trouble, and we try to spout scripture and make it okay. Sometimes people just need to know it's going to be all right. You'll get through it. You're going to make it. And it's really something that we'll never understand until we understand His Word. And when we understand His Word, there's a balance that comes in our life. Brother was talking about somebody in a religious sense. We need to teach relationship. This is all about relationship. I'm not religious. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Mine may be different than yours. Yours may be different than mine. But we need to teach relationship, because that's who we are. So it's kind of time to weigh in. And we need to find out this morning that these things we go through can't compare to the glory that is about to be revealed in us, the glory that we have in Him. And I think that the distractions today are a real culprit of taking God's people and putting them on the sideline. We should be running the race to win Christ, not just running the race, but we should be running the race to win, not just running the race to win, but running the race to win Christ. That's our goal. That's our mark. That's the prize that we have. But things get in the way. Things will try to cut in on you like they did with the saints at Galatia. Who cut in on you? Who got in your way? What was it that tripped you up? We can all identify things that happened, and we're going to go through some of those things this morning. But while I was laying in bed praying, the Lord said, I'm going to heal you from your bald spot to your big toe. And I thought, okay, I guess that's scriptural. I have a bald spot. I just need a yarmulke to cover. And I have a big toe, so let's go. Do your thing. And it took a little bit, and it took some doing, and it took the expertise of the wisdom that God had given the physicians and the staff. And all of a sudden, I feel good. I still have a PICC line in my arm, but I feel good. And so all these things, we need to weigh them in the balance. That's why I bought a balance scale. And if you realize these things, I want to turn to 2 Corinthians 4:16, because I could just chatter all morning. You know, when you feel good, if you're a chatterbox and you feel good, you're like, Dino the dinosaur. But this morning, there was such a witness. I had been studying this and letting this kind of simmer since I was in the hospital. I was laying there and I thought, light affliction. I know that's a scripture somewhere, but Lord, right now, I could not tell you generations to revolutions. I don't know. I 105 fever, I'm just not there. So I got out, I came home, I began to look at it. I began to look at this scripture and I thought, man, this is really amazing when we put into perspective what the word says and begin to apply it to our life. Not just to say it out of our mouth, but let it be hidden away in our heart. Because out of the abundance of your mouth, your heart speaks. So if it's all just in your mouth, it's rhetoric. But if it's in your heart, it's a message. And I was in a test. But with every testing, there's a testimony. When you see the word of God in your life, that God is working and he's doing something that we don't really know what the outcome will be, but we know it's going to be good when we begin to compare it. We begin to see the glory side and the end result. If you've ever done statistics or measured anything, everything has to have an outcome. Well, this is our outcome as believers this morning. As followers of Jesus, yes, we're going to go through stuff, but there's an outcome that has already been measured at Calvary. We already saw the work that he did on the cross. And so now we can see and just believe that God's going to do the work. And then yesterday morning, I was going through Facebook, and I'm kind of addicted to my phone. If you text me, I'm like, you know, flash responder. But I'm going through my phone, looking at Facebook, and I always wait for Aaron's. I want to be the first to like Aaron's post in the morning on Facebook. If you don't know that he does a morning devotional, there's a morning devotional. Well, what scripture was in there yesterday morning? 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17. And I'm like, wow, Lord, that's a witness. So last night, Aaron texts me and he goes, guess what scripture came up in this book I just picked up? 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. I'm like, wow, this is like triple crown on this race. This is something that hopefully the Lord will allow to sink in. But I want to read these three verses first in 2 Corinthians 4:16. He said, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, there it is, which is but for a moment, that's a lifetime, that's the dash of your life from when you were born until, if there's a date there, out translation, or if there's a date there that you're in the ground, for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So here's the balance and here's the scale. If you want to put your life on a scale, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so here we go. There's something that's called an eternal weight of glory. This is a real heavy paperweight. I told him if somebody got out of hand in the audience, I could just wail it at him. But this is the balance right here. The weight of glory tips the scale in our life. And we talk about the light affliction. We talk about the things that have happened in our life. And yes, we have had a lot of things happen in our life. People would take them as a negative, but the Lord always seems to turn it around and makes it for His glory. We lost a son. To me, it shouldn't have happened. But now, God's brought people in our life that have either lost kids or about to lose kids. So with that mess, it's been a message. And that's how God does things. He works everything after the counsel of His own will, but He also will turn things around for you in your life. And then all of a sudden, we're in Kansas City, and then all of a sudden, we're at Gospel Fellowship, and then all of a sudden, I'm teaching doctrine, and all of a sudden, filling in for Brother Hawkins. And I still feel like a kid when I hear him preach, because I'm used to the arms and legs at Tucumcari camp meeting when they would preach, and I'm sitting there like, wow, those guys have long arms, and just going to town. But a light affliction is something that we really have to look at this morning, because when Paul was ministering, if you follow the character study in the life of Paul, he was working and pastoring, or an emissary, if you will. He was doing something during the day that was with Priscilla and Aquila. They had their time together. They were working. They were making tents. And God just so happened to bring Priscilla and Aquila His way. So they combined efforts. Then they began to combine effort in ministry. And this is why I want you to look at these inclusive terms, these personal pronouns. When He said in verse 16, "For which cause we faint not." We are in this together, whether we like it or not. And I always think of how many times would a cross-section of people in this room get together any other place? Well, if there was food, I'm sure you'd get together, but just random get together. You probably wouldn't. But God has brought us all together so that we faint not. But what He said in verse 17, "For our light affliction." There isn't one of us in this place this morning that isn't either going through or have been through something. Or maybe you're looking toward something. And it's inclusive. And He said, "But for us, there's a far more exceeding weight of glory." This is something, as we look at this being together, we are one in Christ. All of us are one in Christ. You know, when you go out and you talk to somebody and they say they're a Christian, you need to incorporate them as being one in Christ. They may not know who they are in Christ fully, but we need to include people that are believers, that are followers of Jesus. Then He said, "We look not at things which are seen." How many times do we look at situations and we just look at it in the peripheral vision that we have? We just look at things and we go, great, again. One time my daughter called, she goes, "Am I ever going to get a break?" And, you know, it was like work-related, house-related, home, kid-related, all these things. Because we're looking at things that are seen. When we begin to look at things that are not seen, and I told my daughter when she left, I said, "Keep looking up. Keep looking up, but don't stop looking around." She called last week and she said, "I went to the doctor," because she has such a testimony. She went, she works in the operating room and as a tech, and they deliver babies all day long. She was running downstairs to the ER because there was something coming, and she fell, hurt her back, and she'd been on disability, on workers' comp. And they went to church the Sunday before she flew out to help her daddy in the hospital, and God healed her back. And this whole time, she's like, "Why in the world? I need to work. I need to be productive. I can't stand back pain." All of a sudden, God heals her back. She comes here, and she's able to help. She couldn't have walked up and down our stairs in our home. I would have had to move to the first floor. That's all there it could have happened. And so here she is. She goes home. She flies home. She goes back to the doctor, and he goes, "You're fine. You can go back to work. For we faint not." Now, she could have just sat down and said, "You know what? I'm just done. When am I going to get a break? I've done that. And I thought, when is something going to happen? So I have a few things that I want to add to the list of light affliction. I don't want to make anybody mad. But if we're witnessing like Paul was witnessing, that's really what he was talking about. He was talking about his life in ministry. He was talking about the people that he was coming in contact with when he would go to the temple and he would minister and they didn't like it. Then he'd go back. We have a pastor in India that was doing outreach, and they went to a remote village. Not one Christian in the village. The village leader was completely against them even coming. The first Saturday they went, they got stoned out of the village. I mean, not pebbles, like rocks hurled at them. This isn't that long ago. And so instead of just saying, oh, you know, we're going to go home and pamper ourselves, the next Saturday they went back. And they witnessed to the village leader. He got saved. And they didn't get stoned out of the village. But then the next Saturday they went back and began to minister. The entire village got saved. This is the kind of light affliction that Paul is talking about. So when we witness, should be the real focus. Now let's see if this changes anything. Nope. Didn't change anything. If you begin to weigh that in a balance, how does that compare? What I'm going through, oh, I just witnessed to these people and they don't seem to understand. It's a light affliction. You just have to keep going back. That's one of the things that this kid that mows our lawn, I asked him when I got out of the hospital, I said, were you praying for me? And he goes, I was. I promise I was. And we've been sharing the love of Jesus with him. And I thought, you know, these are the things that happen. We just need to keep witnessing. Keep witnessing. So there are a lot of things that can go wrong in our life. Sickness is one of them. Sickness is one of those things you're like, great, again? Well, it's a light affliction, sorry, but it is, and just kind of living proof here, that God heals today. And when sickness comes in our bodies, do you know that it feels like you're never going to get well? And the enemy comes in, and nobody's calling me, and the card stopped, and nobody's bringing food anymore, and poor me. When you're sick, you can have a pity party that is the best party, but you're the only one there. And so a lot of times sickness comes, and we think that, you know, everything's just going down. Well, let's see. Sickness didn't change it. If you weigh that according to the glory that awaits us, these are light afflictions in our bodies. These are light things that are happening. When the Lord said that, and I'm laying there, and I'm like, really? This is light. Okay, I didn't argue. We'll go with that. But then sometimes trials that seem to never end. Anybody have a trial in your life or something you're going through that it just seems like this is never going to end? In Bible school, we used to say we put a request in for a new trial because this one's getting really old. We just submit a request for a new trial and then we'll just sweep that one under the rug and start something new. Well, trials come. In general, life happens in each one of our lives. Life happens. You'll have loss. You'll have gain. You'll have days where you just kind of think, wow, what's happening? I'm not really going anything. The enemy wants to put every one of us in the cul-de-sac of life, where it just feels like we're spinning our wheels and not doing anything. It's not true. It's not true. When you're living for the Lord, trials in general will come. But the blessing of the Lord is what will come behind those trials. Those things happen. I want you to turn to Romans 8:18. But let's see if trials change the weight of his glory. Nope. Didn't change it. This is why we need to walk in the glory of God. Romans 8:18, in comparison from this life to eternity, Paul said that, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared. So the sufferings, what he was going through, and if you've studied the life of Paul and his imprisonment and, you know, living with the rats and jail and all these things that were happening to him, This is what he's talking about. But he was saying, this isn't even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now here again, he's talking to us. He's not just saying, I'm the only one, and this is the only way it can be. The glory is going to be revealed in us. Now, that day is coming. That day of reckoning. He's not just reckoning the suffering. The day of reckoning is coming. Because I believe that Jesus is coming soon. I can't give you a date. But if we don't know by now as believers, we've got rocks for brains. Because the Bible is telling us. The world is showing us. So many things are happening. If this isn't perilous times that are coming, I don't know what is. Unless we just don't leave our house. So there are things that happen in our life. Like Paul was saying, these things are going to happen. And I've heard pastors and preachers say that, you know, you begin to walk with God, you'll never have another trial, and never have another problem. Well, you end up being a bratty Christian because you're not learning anything. When I was a kid, we got spanked. And I know it's not real popular. I'm not talking literally. But the Word of God will spank you back in line. The Word of God will correct you back in line. He will chasten you and scourge you. And he does it to every son because he loves us. He receives us. So when we look at these things, we need to see this is just a light affliction. And I know everyone's burden seems so heavy. And they are. You can't discount what anyone's going through. But I want us to compare. We had a guy that went to our church that all he wanted to do is sit around and talk about what heaven was going to be like. I'm like, yeah, it's great. Where's the popcorn? Just wanted to go on and on and on about heaven. And I thought, this is something we kind of have an idea, but I'm not sure we really know. But when we begin to compare what we're going through here and what we're headed to there, then that changes us. That begins to cause us to realize. So sadness, has anyone ever been sad? Situations can make you sad and make you feel like it's never ending. Well, when the disciples were on the road to Emmaus, they were sad. And I'll have a book coming out someday. The difference between sorrow and sadness. Because sorrow is as if we had no hope. Sadness is a real feeling, a real emotion that God helps us get through. Trust me, I know. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus himself appeared to two of the disciples. They didn't recognize him. Why? They were so sad. They were so wrapped up in what they were going through because Jesus had been taken from them. They had the worst case of separation anxiety. And they were sad. And it was a real thing. When they said that this same Jesus that is taken away from you shall come again, I mean, they were hoofing it to the upper room because that was the promise of the Father. They were excited like the kids used to be when it would be 8 o'clock in the morning and would say, we're going to McDonald's for lunch. And they'd be in the car. Dad said, we're going to McDonald's. So, I mean, and then it had to happen. Well, these things that when they saw Jesus go away, that same Jesus is coming again. When you look at that same Jesus that you see go away and that same Jesus that will come again, I always think, what has the church done to that same Jesus? They've changed him. The church has changed Jesus, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So sadness, like on the road to Emmaus, can change you. It can rearrange your brain. It can rearrange your life. Let's see what it does on the scale. Oh my, it didn't change anything. Praise God. That eternal weight of glory. What did he say? For which cause we faint not. You know, we don't want to lose heart today because of things that are happening. We don't want to lose hope because hope is our anchor. And if you're anchored in Christ, then you're grounded. Then the icing on the cake is to know the grace of God. That will ground you, but it won't make you ground bound. It will make you released to greater things. Though our outward man perish, We're all evidence of that. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So there has to be something that changes in our life to cause the inward man to be renewed. And we know it's the Word of God. The only thing, I always say, the one who you feed will win. You feed the flesh is going to win. You feed the new creation is going to win. So who are we feeding? We had a little Sunday school song, Everybody Ought to Know. Everybody doesn't know. We sing that forever and ever. And then the Lord said, need to start teaching these people how to. Because we assume a lot. We have people in church for 40, 11 dozen years, and we think they know, and they don't, and we just kind of wonder why. Well, because the renewal has to come. One message a week can make one weak. We need the Word of God every day. We need His Word alive and in us, in the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit has to reveal that Word to us, doesn't He? The Spirit of God has to be the one that reveals that to each one of us. And one of the issues in ministry, I always talk about reaching from the cradle to the grave, because there's a real gap in between. And when we look at the 7-year-old king that God used, then we look at John on the Isle of Patmos at age mid-90s that God used, there was something there. God uses us. He uses all of us. So we have to be built up. And then He said our light affliction, which is but for a moment. This life that we have, the Bible says our life is like a vapor. You put the tea kettle on and you see the steam. That's the description of our life. But sometimes it feels like it is never going to end, especially a light affliction. But then we begin to move over to the glory side and just say, Lord, show me your glory. Show me who you are in all this. And what does he do? He said, it's but for a moment. It's working for us, far more exceeding. When we look at this, it's an exceeding and an eternal weight of glory. The things that God is doing in our lives, whether they be good, whether they be bad, God is teaching us and training us every day. Until Jesus comes, we're going to be in training. And it should be according to His Word. So while we, in verse 18, look not at the things which are seen. This is where we get in so much trouble. Because we see something, we identify with that. Oh, great. Now this is going to take over my life. No, stop looking at it. I had to ask the Lord to deliver me. It's not so bad back here, but license plate frames. Oh, my Lord. In California, I'd read one. I go, why did I read that? And then here it is, stuck. We look at things seen. When I taught Sunday school, I don't think I got in trouble because Dad was the pastor, but I wanted to teach the kids that anything you can see, you can't take with you. So we started a little fire, because something that could be seen, we show the kids, if it can be burned up, it can't last. Well, we didn't catch the church on fire, but I thought that was a good example. Things that are seen. We identify with things that are seen instead of things that are unseen. The things that are unseen are hidden in God's Word. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How many times has our spiritual eyesight been diminished by what we see in the natural? And so many times we begin to convince ourselves, even my brother will call, like, oh, I think I have cancer. No, you don't have cancer. We need to pray. We convince ourselves by things. We can see something, and the COVID has just gone rampant with people. One cough, oh, that's the Rona. And we were like, no, it's not. By faith, it's not. So he says, the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. So anything you can see, touch, taste, or feel is temporary in the eyes of God. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Have you ever seen someone's salvation? Now, I've seen a lot of hearts, but they've all been in the natural. I can't see your heart. There are a lot of people that can think they can read your mail or, you know, tell you all that's going on in your life. God sees our heart, and that's where it is. On the scale, it's our heart that God is looking at. Our son was all tatted up, had gauges. He'd walk by somebody that was doing outreach, and they were on him like a dog on a bone. You need to be saved. Come over here. He was saved and filled with the Spirit. He just happened to have this thing. He was like wallpaper. I never understood it, but I loved him through it. But those things that are seen is what we identify with. When we start identifying with the things that aren't seen, that faith that builds up, the instant faith at Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance. Sometimes we need faith right now. That's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence or the outcome of what we see in the natural is going to always be in the natural. But the outcome of what we receive through the Spirit of God in the living Word of God is going to be our outcome, and it's going to be on the glory side. Amen. We're going to get benefits on the way. There are perks along the way, trust me. If you yield to the Lord, there'll be blessing after blessing after blessing. When we begin to see that these things are, that we don't see, are eternal, we have to realize this is all by faith. When Moses was in ministry, he was raised up, and the thing that happened in his life, you would never understand. They put him in the river, little basket. He was too cute to go out, and all of a sudden, his mother's his nanny. I mean, all these things that happen, and you go back and you look at it. Look at Hebrews 11:24. It was all by faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Something that challenged him, that he had to come to grips with. He didn't want to be identified with the people that he wasn't really identified by. And a lot of times, we don't want to identify with people. You know, the oldest weapon that we have is still the best weapon that we have, the Word of God. This is the weapon. We can be called old school. We can be called all kinds of things. But these are the things that we need. We need to refuse to identify with what we were. Begin to identify with who we are. But a lot of people haven't been taught who they are in Christ. And so it's just a whole nother ballgame. When you begin to learn who you are in Christ, then he becomes your hope. But it says, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction. Now this was, again, that would be considered light affliction. If we could call Moses right up here, he would tell us that was nothing. That was nothing. It was just a little thing I had to go through. And what did the Lord teach him? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. How many times could we have taken the easy road? I had a Seventh-day Adventist physician, hospital owner that said if I would become Seventh-day Adventist, he would put me through medical school. I wouldn't have to pay a dime. And I thought, ooh, I have to change my name. Can you imagine taking the easy route but having to compromise? This is the challenge that Moses had, but look what happened. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. So the things that we have today, the things that, you know, everybody's got a label. I can't just be Roger. It has to be Roger the something. And he said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. We have to respect what God's doing. We have to respect and not take that easy route. So many times the way that we take these little trials that we're going through. So I'm considering what I've just been through, a light affliction. Just, I want to get that out there. It was horrible, but according to the Word of God, that was a light affliction. So now I can say, Lord, teach me through that. But you know what happened? Through that, I had like this total physical. My whole body's been explored, examined, x-rayed, CT scan, MRI, poked, prodded, whatever. And I told him when I left, I said, I'm going to be a 65-year-old fighting machine when I get out of here. Because the Lord has something for us. You know, if you wake up every morning and you just pray, Lord, what do you have for me today? We know what the world's going to throw at us. We know what the enemy wants to try to do in our life. But let's change that and ask, God, what do you have for me today? What's going to happen? Who are you going to bring my way? So many times we look through people that need to be witnessed to or need to be prayed for. But we're in the market, so we don't want to cause a ruckus. We're on the street. Oh, we don't want to cause a ruckus. Cause a ruckus. It's okay. Go out on a limb for him. If we begin to do those things, we're going to see that these other things are really light afflictions. When we begin to speak out, because we have so much in us that we feel like we're either being harassed or persecuted or whatever, it's a light affliction, saints. And God wants us to just get over it. He'll take you through it. I'm telling you, there's more, because there's an exceeding weight of glory that's awaiting each one of us. And today, I want to be ready. We started preaching ready a long time ago because people were trying to categorize, you know, were you pre, mid, post, no, out translation. I said, I'm just going to start preaching ready because God knows our hearts. And we can say that we're in the bride all day long, but if it's not in our heart, we're just saying it out of our mouth. Christians have a lot of rhetoric, but we've got to feel it in our heart. We have to show that love of Jesus Christ. When Paul said he loved the appearing, he wrote all these epistles, but all his writing was nothing in view of his love he had for the Lord. Love conquers all. And when we begin to see that, we stop feeling sorry for ourselves. I don't think I felt sorry for myself in the hospital. I was just like waiting, okay, you're going to bring me through this. You know, I didn't feel like I was going to die or didn't see any light or anything. But it's one of those things we have to consider, the light affliction versus the glory that's awaiting us. I'm going to choose the glory side. I'm going to choose not dwelling on all these things that I see in the natural that are coming at me. I'm just going to shift my eyes. They may not go away, but they won't distract me so I can keep looking up. The distraction today is gross in the world. There's so much distraction. Believers are distracted. And now pajama church has gotten believers to stay home. Not saying it isn't a good thing. But there's just something about being distracted. And we need to look up because our redemption draws nigh. I just praise the Lord this morning because he's done so much for me. I can't tell it all. I used to laugh at Sister Rainwater in Bakersfield, California, that testified. She said, if I told you everything the Lord had done, we'd be here all night. Well, now I believe it. I mean, if I told you everything the Lord had done for me, we could be here a while. But let your testimony be a light to the world. Let the mess you've been in be a message to somebody that's probably going through the same thing. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.